Good morning, Channel 9, and welcome to our audience around the world. Thank you for joining us on our session today. We're going to talk about Windows-compatible hardware development boards. My name is Viraf Gandhi. I'm a program manager with Microsoft's Operating Systems Group.
I'm Peter Wieland. I'm a software engineer in the Operating Systems Group.
Both Peter and I are really excited to be here today, and we wanted to showcase you some of the investments that Microsoft is making in the hardware development arena. During the course of this event, we're going to highlight some of the cool investments that we are working on to make the lives of hardware developers like yourself easier using Windows. We have a packed agenda for you today. We wanted to start off by continuing the discussion we initiated at Build, where we talked about simplifying hardware development using Windows-compatible boards. Today, we're going to talk about two development boards. The first one is the Shark's Cove board that we introduced at Build. We've got a lot of exciting news and updates to share about that. Next, we're going to talk about the Minnowboard Max. This is the first time we're talking about the Minnowboard Max and the Windows story for the Minnowboard Max. And Peter and I are super excited to be here to represent that story. So Peter, tell us about your experience using these boards.
These are both great boards. These are the first, as you said, these are the first two Windows-compatible hardware development boards. This is a program we started a couple months back to look at why is it difficult for, what's making it difficult for our component vendors, our listeners, to get their software and their hardware working with Windows. And hardware, these sorts of computers are one of the things that was high on that list. So we wanted to create to either work with a partner to find to build systems, or we wanted to find existing systems that a hardware developer could buy easily over the internet. They wouldn't need to negotiate for an order of one or request a quote or use a purchase order. They could just buy their boards. They wouldn't have to sign any licensing agreements or anything like that. And then they could wire their components up and get started. And we've taken a lot of inspiration from the makerspace because that's a space that's shown us that if you give hardware engineers a computer that can run an operating system and is designed to be wired to, that they can build amazing things. And so we would like to be able to use that same sort of energy to help build Windows systems and Windows components.
Absolutely.
And I had a talk with Don Box. Some people might know Don Box from his days on COM and Windows Communications Framework. He's now the director of development for the Silicon Media and Graphics Group inside of the Operating Systems Group. And we talked about these boards and about Windows and building hardware for Windows. I think we'll watch that video a little bit later.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear that video. It's very, very interesting to hear Don and you
always
talk
fun
about
to hear
it.
Don talk.
Exactly. So development board is just one piece of the equation for the hardware development lifecycle. At Build, we announced a lot of investments that Microsoft is making to light up the end-to-end hardware development lifecycle. And we're going to continue that discussion today and show you some of these investments that we've made over the last few months. And a few of them have actually gone live, so we'll be showcasing them to you soon. Next, we're going to have Vikram, who is representing our Internet of Things group. He will come up on stage and show you all the investments that Microsoft is making to make our IoT partners successful in their projects. Finally, you have lots of demos, actually. We've got a really cool demo that our team in Taipei has put together. This demo walks end-to-end through the steps of hardware development, from starting off with a sample driver from MSDN all the way through modifying it for a real-world example, and then taking it to debugging, deploying it to a Shark's Cove. This is a true end-to-end demo, and we're happy to show you guys that whole end-to-end experience. You definitely want to stick around for that. And we also have some good customer testimonials. These are partners who have been working with us in Taipei on getting their parts up on Windows using the Shark's Cove development board. And we'll hear from them about their experience and how Shark's Cove has made it super easy for them to bring to life their driver projects, and also how Microsoft tools have made it really easy for them to build drivers using the hardware development boards. We will have question and answer sessions towards the end. And this is an example of how we want to engage with you, the community. We wanted to start that dialogue up front. We have a question a session opened in your chat windows. I would encourage you to go ahead and start submitting your questions as anything pops up in your mind. We'll try to take these questions throughout the session. We have a dedicated Q&A session at the end as well, where we'll talk about these. And we'll also post these responses on MSDN. And I'll talk more about our support forum on MSDN, which I highly encourage you to participate in.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot to talk about today. I know we have a very full agenda. I think you wanted to start off by talking about the value of Windows to hardware engineers.
Absolutely, Peter. So Microsoft Windows provides a common developer platform experience that spans from PCs to phones, tablets, to embedded devices. And it allows you as a developer to use the same powerful Visual Studio tools and to do your driver projects or your development projects across these devices. And this has come to life because of a growing alignment in the API surface and a universal application platform that spans across these devices. So part of the power of Windows has always been that it is a single platform that works on a wide array of devices, both in terms of devices that it can run on, but also the peripherals and components that can connect to it. With a growing variety of hardware from new PC form factors that we're constantly seeing, like the two-in-ones, et cetera, and spanning to small development boards, that examples of which we are gonna see today, that are powering the maker movement, there's a huge opportunity for you, our partners, to leverage Microsoft Windows and our amazing set of tools to light up your hardware devices, services, and other offerings.
Right, and if you look at what our leadership has talked about online and in interviews, what Satya's talked about is future convergence on one core operating system, right? And we definitely see hardware and drivers and hardware components as part of that operating system core. So part of what we've been working towards is being able to take our great tools like Visual Studio and then apply them to that operating system core. So hardware engineers can write their drivers once and they'll be able to use them across a wide variety of platforms. So that's one of the things that I talked with Don about a couple weeks ago. Don couldn't be here, unfortunately, to participate today, but he did record a conversation about these boards and about how he sees engagement with the hardware ecosystem.
Excellent.
I think we should watch that now.
Let's roll that.
Yeah.
My name is Don Box. I lead the team at Microsoft that does silicon, graphics, and media. This is Peter Wieland. He's on my team. He's an architect in the silicon and hardware side. What we're going to do is today talk about some of the things we're doing at Microsoft to improve and up-level the development experience for hardware developers and for kernel mode developers. Now, as you know, if you go to build, we spend a lot of time talking about user mode development, right? XAML, WWA, DirectX, all of those things, C#. You know, we've done a great job kind of telling our story and really investing heavily there. What we're doing is we're really doubling down on addressing the needs of the hardware developer and the hardware community, as well as folks who do kernel mode development on Windows. And so if you think about the state of the art, right, you need great tooling, you need great devices to go debug on, you need great support in terms of documentation and samples. What we're really trying to do now is make it so that it's dirt easy for people to go off and do not only kernel mode development, but also to go build new devices that run our operating system. So instead of having to go get a PC and do crazy stuff or have to work with an ODM or an OEM and get a device custom build, if you decide, hey, I want to go build a device that runs Windows, we're doing work to make it very easy for you to go off and prototype and do development against hardware that doesn't actually exist yet, right? And so one of the things we're releasing this month is this thing called Shark's Cove. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Shark's Cove, Peter?
This is Shark's Cove. Ta-da. This is a board we've been working with Intel on. We've been working on them about 6 and 8 months. They've actually been a great partner for us. The best way to think about Shark's Cove is this is the inside of a tablet. Right? If you took a 7-inch or a 9-inch tablet, ripped it open, you'd have a motherboard kind of like this. If you wanted to wire hardware to it, like a sensor or a touch panel or something like that, so you could do your own development, say you make one of those and you want to build drivers for it, you would need access to underlying I/O paths. The GPIO, I2C, those sorts of things. So what Intel has done is taken a tablet design and built it out with a bunch of headers and connectors so that you can access the underlying power rails, the I/O controllers, the clock. There's probably a clock line on here somewhere. So all of the things you would need. If you have a part that would go into a tablet, there's somewhere on here you can wire it up in order to do your software development.
Got it. And this is an Atom-based processor?
This is an Atom-based processor. I can never remember the exact number, Z38 something something. It's an Atom-based processor. It's a SoC. This is one of the unique things. We didn't have any board. There were some single board computers out before we built this, but they were built around the traditional core, so they couldn't do the connected standby power management state, and they didn't have all of the IOs available. So by building this on top of a tablet platform, we get very tablet-like behavior for doing driver development on.
Got it. So there's a GPU on there.
There is a GPU in here, yes.
Fantastic.
And an HDMI port, so.
Great. This could be my new desktop?
This could be your new desktop. It has 16 gigs of memory of flash. I don't know how much storage you need on your desktop. But.
And could I use this on an airplane?
No, because it requires a power supply. So.
But if I were on a fancy airline,
if you were on
a
fancy airline, the FCC and the FAA might have something to say about it, but yes, it should.
And could I use this device during takeoff and landing?
No, probably not.
Okay, then I'm not going to use it for that. Okay. I'll only use it for my hardware development. Fantastic. And unless I'm mistaken, there's another board we're releasing this month called the Mineboard Max. Tell us about that.
So this is the Mineboard Max. This is another Atom-based board. This is based on one of Intel's embedded industrial parts. So there's a bunch of differences between these two boards beyond just the size. This is a 64-bit platform, while this is a 32-bit platform. This has access to display panel and camera, which are high-speed buses that you'd find inside of a tablet. This has access to PCI Express through a board that goes on the bottom here, which are things you might find more in a larger system. But this one's being built and is an open hardware platform, so it's actually a schematic that somebody could build more hardware on. It's not focused directly on the IHV space, but one of the things we really need for IHVs is they just need hardware that has access to all of the underlying I/O controllers. So wherever we've seen a board that has that kind of capability, we really want to jump on it and make sure it's available for Windows and it fits into our developer story.
Got it. Does this have display out as well?
This does. This one has a micro HDMI that's hiding right here.
Fantastic. And what operating system do I run on these boards?
These should be able to run any Windows, full Windows SKU. So you could run the desktop operating system if you have a license for it. If you don't have a license to run on it already and you're doing software development, there is a trial build of Windows Industry 8.1. It's available on MSDN. You can get to it through the hardware landing page also. And you can download that, you get a license key, and then you can install it. You can run it for up to 180 days. You can reinstall using the same key. So you can't use it for years and years, but you can use it for half a year to do your software development project.
And do I run a 32 or a 64-bit OS on these?
This one will run a 32-bit OS. This one will run a 64-bit OS.
Got it. And so if I want to go do development, what tools do I need?
Well, you'd need Visual Studio. You get the latest version of Visual Studio. The Visual Studio Desktop Express product is available free for download, and that works with our driver kit. We have links to Visual Studio and the Windows driver kit on the hardware landing page also.
And for folks who haven't looked at kernel mode development in a while, WDK is the new name for the DDK,
yes.
Which if you grew up in the 90s doing Windows development, you know that term.
Yes.
Fantastic. So it seems like for very, very low cost, like $100, I could start doing very low-level hardware hacking on my own, or I could actually do commercial development for a high-end driver for like $99 for the Mineboard Max.
Yep.
I can use an Express SKU to go do development. I can get the WDK for free, right? And I can go grab a trial version of Windows. So the barrier of entry to get going is actually super low.
Yeah, I think we've really reduced the barrier entry with these. The Sharks Cove is a little bit more money. It's $300, but it provides access to the high-speed MIPI buses that you need for some of those embedded tablet components. If you were building something that you really were selling into the tablet space, it would probably go with the Sharks Cove because it's more like what the ODM is going to use. It gives you a better reference point to work with. If you're building something for a project or something like that, or if you want to scale out, right? You have a couple of these to do certification and final work on, but if you need to give a bunch of developer desktops, then you could also buy a number of Mino boards also.
Cool. So I think we have two products that we're releasing this month. We can go get all the tools for free. We can get started. And of course, I can use Visual Studio Pro, Visual Studio Ultimate.
Yes.
Right. All of that stuff works as well. This is fantastic. Thanks, Peter.
It was always great to hear from Don, and it's great that you had an opportunity to catch up with him earlier in the week.
Yeah, it was a really fun conversation to have.
Absolutely. Too. We'll be hearing more about these boards all throughout today's session. So, Peter, these development boards are fundamental to any hardware development projects. Give us your take on these boards.
Sure. So these are both, like I said before, these are both great little boards. The Shark's Cove is one where we worked more directly with Intel. We gave them a number of design requirements and discussed them with them, and then we let them do all the actual work. But it's the goal is to sort of represent the motherboard on a device like a tablet or a phone that you'd find today. The challenge has been with working with these systems. In the past, you could buy a PC, you could put your plug your components into a PCI slot or into a USB slot and be able to do your development easily. But on SoC-based systems, we don't have the same sort of standard expansion ports, the standard connectors. So we really had to go out and work to try and design something for our first iteration. So the Shark's Cove is designed for that, and it exposes GPIO and I2C, UART, SDIO, and then has some high-speed connectors as well.
All the standard buses.
Right, all the standard buses. The MinnowBoard Max, I look at this as our second iteration on this project. First iteration was working with someone to get the board that we wanted created. The second iteration was finding an existing board or board in progress that had many of the same requirements and working with the company in order to get that one started or to get that one running Windows, right? So the MinnowBoard Max is designed more for embedded systems or sort of a maybe professional maker kind of scenarios, people who are enthusiasts, people who want to buy some hardware for embedded systems purposes or just to sort of play around with a system like this. But there's a really great, when you put Windows on here, we have a really great intersection with the Shark's Cove in that, because this also has I2C and SPI and GPIO, that you can use these boards to do your driver development as well. So that was our goal. So what we want to be able to do, our vision for the hardware compatible board program is that there would be a number of low cost, sort of off the shelf or off the internet boards that are available for purchase, that they're going to be usable to build drivers and components for the things you would find typically in a tablet or a phone or some sort of novel device, and that we wanted to really enable development with Windows and make it easy, make it very easy for you to just get a Windows system that you could wire components up to in order, whether you're building drivers for components that are going into tablets and phones, whether you're building an embedded system or whether you're just sort of working with Windows and hardware, that you could very easily get a system and get started.
Excellent. So I think my main takeaway was that these boards are actually provides a low-cost, off-the-shelf development platforms that anybody who's interested in working with hardware can easily purchase and get going right away. And I think these two boards hit the nail. And we'll be hearing from our partners and colleagues at Intel who will be coming up on stage and joining me very shortly. And they will talk more about these boards and the design choices that they have made in on one board versus the other. So you guys definitely should stick around for that. I am really excited to say that the Shark's Cove is available today. You can go to sharkscove.org. And you'll have, Intel has published the technical collateral, such as the documentation, the tools, and it also has a link to Mouser.com, where you could go purchase these boards for $299. We'll be hearing more about these boards from our colleagues at Intel very shortly. And the MinnowBoard Max, we're super happy and excited over here today to talk about the MinnowBoard Max, which is a compact, affordable, and a powerful development system for both professionals and makers. And again, we'll hear about these the contrast between the two boards. So Peter, you have used both these boards over the past month or so.
I have.
The Shark's Cove more than MinnowBoard very lately. Yep. And in your view, when would you pick one board over the other?
Well, it comes down to a couple of factors. One of them, probably the main one, is what do you need to connect your components, right? If you need I2C or GPIO or a high-speed UART or SDIO, then I think you're good with both of these boards. if you needed a MIPI CSI connector because you're developing for a camera, then you want to go with the Sharks Cove. The Sharks Cove is designed more like a tablet. It has some of those high-speed connectors for camera and display panels. If you wanted to, consequently, if you wanted to build a driver for a PCI Express network part or something like that, you would need to go with the Miniboard Max because it's the only one of the two that exposes PCI. So first thing is to look at what do you need to connect up? What do you require? The second thing to think about is what kind of board do you want? Do you want a board that's like, are you working with a system manufacturer and you want a board that's like the motherboard they're designing so that you can do sort of end-to-end certification, end-to-end testing, and build all the collateral? If that's what you're working with, then you would want to probably have a Sharks Cove. If you're doing embedded systems work or if you your components, you don't need to do that end-to-end experience, then I think the Miniboard Max is a fine choice. And then the third thing is probably price, right? These are both very affordable, we feel. The Sharks Cove is a little more money. It's $299 versus I think $99 is the target for the Miniboard Max, or $139. But we could actually see, we would see IHVs or companies having a mix of both, right? Where you'd buy a Sharks Cove to do the end-to-end validation and product validation and be able to know that you can get all the way out to the point where your parts are usable by a manufacturer. You might buy a mix of Sharks Coves and Miniboard Maxes to put on developer desktops. So you can be a little more economical and you can make sure that everybody has a board that they can work with.
Excellent. So, I mean, I think the other main thing is that the fact that we have Windows running on both these boards and you have a common set of development tools that Visual Studio and the Windows Driver Kit provides, it makes it very easy for developers to go back and forth between these two boards during the development lifecycle based on whatever their needs are.
Definitely,
yeah. So I think that's a very compelling scenario for having multiple boards in the ecosystem that provides this experience. As I mentioned, these are both available, the Sharks Cove at sharkscove.org. The Miniboard Max could be ordered, and you could get more information at miniboard.org. So definitely go check that out. And get those questions coming. We would like to hear your views and any other question that you may have about these two boards. Go to the chat window next to your session and send us your comments, your feedback. We would be happy to address it during this session or afterwards on our forums. At this point, I would like to bring our colleagues at Intel to talk a little bit more about the boards. We have John, who is going to talk about the Miniboard Max, and Richard Myers, who is going to be talking about the Sharks Cove. So, and then we also have CircuitCo, Clint Cooley from CircuitCo, who is going to be talking about the two boards as well. So let's bring them on. Hey, welcome back. I have John Hawley from Intel. He's going to be walking us through the design choices and the details about the Miniboard Max. We've got Richard Myers from Intel as well, who's going to be giving us the same overview about the Sharks Cove. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us here.
No, thank you.
So John, tell us more about the Miniboard Max.
So the Miniboard is a fantastic little board, and it came out of a project to do an open hardware platform within Intel, both as a reference platform for people outside of Intel and the big ISVs, but also to give an opportunity for people to be able to pick up an Intel architecture board and be able to do their own modifications to it. And, you know, and that's what kind of drove a lot of the decisions in for the Miniboard Max. You know, it's a very affordable board. We've got a single and dual core set of SKUs. The single core starts at $99 and the dual core starts at $139. And it uses the Intel Atom Bay Trail processor. So it's a 64-bit processor with Intel HD graphics and all of the things that are packaged into that CPU. And it's just an amazingly powerful CPU. And we're putting it into the embedded space. And it's just, to say that we're getting knocks on the door every day is an understatement. So this is going to be a very popular board. And with Windows now joining the list of operating systems that are supported on the platform, it's just going to make it that much more popular. So, you know, and it comes in a very small form factor. It's only a little bit bigger than, you know, some of the similar boards in the space. It is a little bit more expensive, but it's definitely significantly more powerful. You know, just we've got some of the specs here, and you can go out to miniboard.org and see all of these specs. They're all available. But, you know, like I said, we've got Intel HD graphics, and we've got you know, a very powerful CPU. And with that CPU comes a lot of high-speed I.O., which is what kind of differentiates us from the rest of the competition in our space. We've got USB 2, we've got USB 3, we've got, you know, an HDMI port, we've got, you know, SATA 2, 3 gigabit on the board, we've got a gigabit Ethernet port, and we can also pull out a Gen 2 PCI Express 2 lane, which, if you've done any embedded work, this is unbelievably powerful, and it opens up a huge amount of hardware that isn't normally available in to an embedded board. So, you know, it gives us, you know, a lot to work with, and it gives, you know, the people who are developing for with our board a lot to work with as well. So, and we've got it, you know, the people at home can see this picture. This is straight off of our documentation. You know, these are all of the interfaces that we're exposing in about a 3-inch by 4-inch board, and it's just jam-packed full of everything that we could get on there, which, you know, in some cases meant that we had to pull some things off, but we are trying to give everybody as much as we possibly can. So,
are we ready to hear from Clint?
Yeah, and I think we've got Clint Cooley on the line, who's with CircuitCo, and I'd love to have him talk about both the Minnow board and Shark's Cove.
So thanks, John. Clint unfortunately couldn't make it over here today, but he is joining us via Skype. Mm-hmm. So let's move over and talk to Clint. Hey, Clint.
Yes, hi. Hi, how are you today? Thanks for having us on. We really are excited about this project with the Shark Cove and Minnow Max. CircuitCo is a OSH development company specializing in manufacturing, engineering services, and community development. You could consider us a community facilitator in a degree that we assist in building an ecosystem for the user or the board adopter. And we've been in this market and really a pioneer in this market space since 2007. In addition to manufacturing and engineering, we partner with all the major franchise distributors for distributions of our product. As mentioned, Mouser is carrying both boards now, and we will expand on that as the production increases, and we're ramping production now, by the way. We are also original designers of add-on boards. For the Minnow Max, they're called Lures. For Shark Cove, we'll have to come up with another name maybe, but I'm sure there'll be more out there. But we actually create different types of add-on boards that will enhance the functionality and user experience of the reference design. We also strongly encourage community members to also come up with their own add-on boards for whatever their own project needs are, and we can help facilitate that as well. One very important thing, and we're seeing a great deal of interest in the original equipment manufacturers for this board, and we help those OEMs with design modifications, prototyping, and help with their production requirements as necessary. But again, as I mentioned earlier, we're very happy to be involved with Shark's Cove and Minnow Max, and are very eager to continue our support of this new and exciting community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Clint. This was great to hear CircuitCo's story about the two boards. So Richard, tell us about the Shark's Cove.
Sure. I'm Richard Myers from Intel. I work in the mobile and communications group. So what we've done with Shark's Cove is we've taken what's essentially the same as our current tablet designs with Bay Trail, and we've sort of shrunk it down and taken just the core part of this and then exploded all the interfaces. So you have complete access to any of the interfaces on any of our modern tablets. What we have done in the past, if we were trying to enable another company, is make reference boards that tended to be more expensive, and you had to sign up for special licensing and work directly with Intel. And what we've done with Shark's Cove is we've made that available to anyone. So anyone can go to sharkscove.org and see how to purchase this. And for just $299, they can have the same development experience that you would have to typically go through a lot of hurdles to get to. We've been working with Microsoft from the beginning. It's been a really exciting journey to get this done. And we really appreciate all the input, too. There's been a lot of great suggestions, and all the input has made this, I think, a really excellent development board. So not only can we run all the x86 applications that you would like, and it'll run any of the versions of Windows, but you've also made available the free version of Windows online, which is a wonderful development environment, and you can develop drivers right to your heart's content for any of those.
And Peter
devices.
Will talk about the trial version that we made available.
So we're very excited to see what's going to come out of that. So the ideal customers for Shark's Cove, I think, are going to be the people who are developing new sensors or new comm solutions, people who are going to be developing for that next generation of tablets. And so using today's generation to develop for the next generation means you're going to have a really nice compatibility path for the future and get what you need and open up lots of new doors for new devices and new kinds of tablets out there. And in addition to the hardware, we also have a lot of software out there. We put two really powerful tools and made those available to the general public for the first time. One of those is a GPIO configuration utility. So as you're bringing your devices up, you can modify the interrupts and have these working very easily, much more easily than you had in the past. And that, coupled with the ACPI modification tool, says that you can actually save those settings back and use those time and again on this device as you're doing your development.
And Richard, I have to tell you that we'll see the customer testimonials a little later. This is exactly the point that our customers, our partners in Taipei drove home about how easy it was to take this board and modify the ACPI and BIOS and get their sensors connected. So we'll hear about that.
We're happy to hear that.
Absolutely.
And of course, you can always use ASL and other tools that you're used to as well. So we really see it as part of a complete package for people who want to develop for that next generation of platforms, who want to get into building those new tablets that are going to be coming out next year and for years going forward.
Very nice, very nice. And I think since this is a full tablet reference design, you can even use it for certification as well, right?
You potentially could, yeah. I mean, it's really wide open as to what you could do with it. And I think that's the exciting thing to me. I mean, you can bring up new devices that we haven't even thought about yet. So
exactly.
It's very exciting. And again, this has got the exact same specs as we've had in our current tablets that are shipping today. And as we mentioned before, we've got I2C exposed, we've got MIPI for CSI and for display. These are the exact same interfaces that you would see on the tablets that you could go buy in a store right now. We're really excited, too, to have the entire package with the OS development tools and the firmware all available to people to put together relatively easily and have a development environment that would have been much more complicated in the past.
Absolutely.
And you can see the specs here. Again, anything that you would see in a typical tablet, you're going to get, and it's all in a 4x6-inch package for $299, which is really nice. And it's laid out somewhat logically, too. We've got a lot of the specs online, so we've tried to make as much of the information available as we can. We have a developer's guide and a usage guide that'll help walk people through what to connect where, and even the groupings of the headers on the board are more logically placed, so folks can say, oh, all the sensors are together here and comms are over there. It makes it a nice development environment. So we're really proud of this board. We're really happy to have it available to people. And
very nice.
Excited by it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you for taking the time today for joining us, and hope to work with you guys on future projects as well.
Great.
Thanks.
So it was great to hear from Intel about the two boards, and both of these boards are available today, as I had mentioned.
And like they said, it's been great working with them. They've been very supportive. They've been a terrific partner both on the Minnow Board Mac side and on the Sharks Cove side.
Exactly. And we look forward to working with them in the future on such projects. So at Build, we talked about the hardware development lifecycle. And the hardware development boards is just one piece of the puzzle. There are a lot of other things that make that need to fall in place in order for you to successfully complete a hardware project. And we talked at Build that Microsoft is looking at this whole program holistically, end to end, and we want to make sure that we have all the right collateral and tools in order to make you, our partners, successful with your hardware development lifecycle using Windows. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is our investment in documentation. At Build, we talked about the need of having guided documentation. These are essentially cookbooks which will walk you through step-by-step the whatever the task is at hand. So these are not supposed to be a replacement for the great reference documentation we have on MSDN. I mean, that will always continue to live and be a great companion for the guided documentation, but these document the things that we are putting together over here will walk you through a particular step task at hand. So, for example, we've created one called "Getting Started with Sharks Cove Board," and I'll show you that in a minute, where that actually walks you through step by step the process of connecting the board to your development machine, getting Windows on the board, configuring the debugger, configuring the tools to deploy your driver projects. So we feel that once you walk through these steps, you will have a successful end state, which will let you move on to your next step. So again, for all these guided documentation, you always start at msdn.microsoft.com/hardware-dev-boards. This is our main landing page for our hardware, Windows-compatible hardware development boards. So at this point, I want to actually quickly tab out and show you the first guided development document, which is the SharkScope Getting Started Guide. So this actually walks you through all the steps about what you need to have before you get started. Step one, you get the board, download all the tools that you need for your driver development project. Then it moves on to getting a copy of Windows, and Peter will talk about the options that we have with Windows on these two development boards. And how do you inject your driver package that you can download from sharkscope.org or in the future at minnowboard.org into this Windows image and get it on the board. And then finally, it talks about the connections, which is actually a picture speaks at much more than 1,000 words, and it shows you how easy it is to connect your board to your development machine and gives you examples, which is extremely encouraging and reassuring when you're getting started with these type of projects. And then finally, it talks about how do you write software using your SharkScope board. So one of the software that we expect people to write all the time is drivers for sensors. And we have created the first cookbook, which is called as a sensor cookbook. And this is a step-by-step guide on getting started with downloading a sample driver off of MSDN. You modify that driver for your sensor. It'll tell you the things that you need to modify. Then you build it all through Visual Studio. You deploy your driver to a target machine. In this case, they've used the SharkScope as an example, so it's a good validation that the platform that we are talking about today actually works in a real-world scenario. And then finally, it talks about debugging, running tests on this board. And the demo that our Taipei team has put together is exactly walks us through this process, and we'll be seeing that a little later, and you definitely want to stick around for that. So, we're going to continue making investments in these type of guided documents. We've got more cookbooks that we are working on with our different feature teams. And as we get these books published, we will notify you through our MSDN forums, which we'll talk about later. These forums are a great way for you to stay in touch with Microsoft, share your feedback, your comments, and also help us stay engaged with you with all the new developments that we are putting out to make lives easier for hardware developers. So Peter, tell us a little bit more about the tools, the great tools and the operating systems that come with these boards.
Sure. So when we think about what developers need in addition to the hardware, what we thought about are development tools, the Visual Studio and the WDK, that's the first thing. In the past you've had to buy Visual Studio Professional in order to work with the WDK. It's a great development environment. It contains a lot of tooling for code analysis and testing and things like that. But it's we've heard that it's the feedback that it's fairly expensive. We know $500, it's a little bit of a hit for people who are starting out with hardware development or even for smaller companies. We announced at Build in April, I think it was April, right?
April,
that Visual Studio Express 2013 for Windows Desktop, which is our free version of Visual Studio for building services and Win32 applications, that will support the Windows Drivers Kit. So this means that you get all of the benefits of Visual Studio in terms of our templates, our project system, the unit testing and things like that, but now you can use it with your drivers. So you can build your drivers and you don't have to purchase a development environment. And so with the WDK, it's possible to start a driver from a template. We have a number of driver templates. You can modify that template to build out the driver that you need. We support F5, press F5,
Favorite feature.
We will build the driver and deploy it to your target system. You can even debug through Visual Studio if you like the Visual Studio debugger. For people who are more old school driver developers, they can use our older Windows debugger tools. And we have a test environment in there as well so that you can schedule our device fundamentals tests, but also you can write your own unit tests and move those into the mix, and then you can do an automated test process as well.
So this is great. So that means I, as a driver developer, never have to leave Visual Studio. I can do from soup to nuts everything from within this awesome framework.
You never have to leave Visual Studio, and you no longer have to pay for Visual Studio.
That is even better.
Which we think is probably the better news.
Absolutely.
The second thing that we know developers will need is an operating system. Traditionally, if you were doing hardware development and you went to the store or you went online and you bought a PC, it would come with a copy of Windows. It would come with a license for Windows. And so you didn't really have to worry about that. As we move into developer boards like the Shark's Cove and the Minnow Board Max, now we don't want the manufacturer to have to deal with licensing and installing the operating system. That'll push the cost up of the board, and it's just not, it's not really worth it. So instead, what we've been doing is looking at how can you use an existing Windows license that you have, or how can you get some sort of development version of the operating system that you could use, that you could install on the board yourself. If you have a Windows license, if you've bought a retail copy or you already have a license through that path, the full desktop version of Windows will install and run just fine on either of these boards, so you don't need to do anything. For people who have an MSDN subscription, and that's a really valuable tool, it's unfortunately also an expensive tool, but it's a very valuable tool. But if you have an MSDN subscription, you can use the development licenses that you get from that in order to install and activate Windows on either of those boards. So again, if you already have a copy of Windows or if you have access to one, you're all set, you can just install that. If you don't have access to a licensed copy of Windows for these boards, what we've ended up doing, is the info on the slide?
No.
What we've done is looked at the Windows Industry 8.1 trial program. So this is a 180-day trial that the Windows Embedded team has set up for their version of Windows that's designed for kiosks and point-of-sale systems and other sorts of embedded PCs. It is the full version of Windows Professional. It has some additional features that are designed for the embedded scenarios. They're optional features, and they don't really have any relevance particularly to hardware developers, but they, in this case, but they don't get in the way either. So we've decided that's what we're recommending, is that people use that program. And with that program, you can go online, you sign in with your Microsoft account, you'll get a trial key. That trial key can be used to install the operating system, and I think I've been told it's something like thousands of times. So you can install that through all your development systems within your company. The version of Windows will run for 180 days, and after 180 days, it will stop booting, so you'll have to reinstall.
That's pretty easy.
You know, when we've looked at it, we think half a year is a pretty good amount of time for somebody to get through a driver development project and be able to test and do their certification. I mean, I know I reinstall my test machines all the time, so I don't see that as a hurdle for me. If you really need to do something longer than that, then you would have to reinstall afterwards, but you can just pick up and keep going again, so we don't see that as a big barrier.
So Peter, where can our audience get this copy of trial build for Windows?
Well, you can find it on MSDN if you search through a bunch of complicated paths, but we also have a link for it in the developer guide and on the hardware landing page.
This is our step-by-step documentation.
Yep. So
ease of discoverability.
Yes.
That's
so
what
right in there
going
with
for.
Get Kits and Get Operating System, there's a link you can click. It'll take you to the trial program and you can sign up.
Excellent.
The third thing that we know developers need is not really software, but it's support. Writing Windows drivers is a complicated process. We have some community forums that are out there today that people use for their driver development. Going forward, particularly around the Shark's Cove and the writing drivers for the Shark's Cove and the Minnow Board Max, we want to continue to use that community support model. So we have a MSDN hardware dev forums. There's a link for it on the support page, and that is an online forum. We have Windows developers there. We have community, well-known names from the driver community there who provide a lot of support for people. Go online and ask questions. It's also a great spot, we think, to talk about what you've been doing with these boards. So if you have a project that you've managed to finish that you want to brag about or get some pointers on how to do it better or talk about what the problems were and try to get some support or give us feedback, the forums are the right place to do that, and we'll be very responsive there. And the forums are the right place to go for software support, right? So including writing drivers or building embedded systems, that sort of thing.
What about hardware?
For hardware support, you would want to go to the manufacturer's forum. So sharkscove.org and minnowboard.org both have links to get support for the hardware. If you are having a problem trying to get it wired up, if you think the board's not working right and you may need to do a return or something like that, that would be the location to go.
Okay. So actually, I want to reemphasize that at Build and even prior to Build, we heard from you, our partners, that Microsoft needs to get more engaged with our community. And we are making concerted effort in making sure that we constantly keep in touch with all the latest things that are happening with you. And we're going to use these forums as a way for you to ask us questions, provide feedback, provide examples of some great projects that you've done using our tools. If you have comments or feedback about all the collateral that we are putting out, let us know, because that's the only way we're going to hear about it, and then we're going to have an opportunity to address it in our future planning milestones.
And actually, you know, to that addressing it, one of the things we've done here that is novel for us is all of the scripts involved in provisioning the Sharks Cove or the Minnowboard Max and getting them set up have been released on CodePlex as an open source project. We did that because we felt that that would give us the best ability to iterate quickly. So if people find problems with the scripts or want new functionality, we can get a change out into the ecosystem in a couple of days or weeks, as opposed to needing to wait 6 months or a year until
for
our next
a release
major
cycle.
Right, for the next major release.
Exactly. Excellent. Excellent. So here we've actually shown you the whole life cycle. The board was just one aspect of it, but a very, very critical aspect of a hardware development life cycle. We've seen examples of two great boards, the Sharks Cove and the Minnowboard Max. Each has its place in this ecosystem. We've shown you two examples of great step-by-step documentation, and then Visual Studio and WDK. I cannot reemphasize how amazing these tools are, because I just don't have to leave Visual Studio. And Visual Studio Express, now that the driver Windows driver kit works with Visual Studio Express, it provides a great environment that I don't have to pay for, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
So. I want to switch topics at this point. We've heard a lot about IoT and Internet of Things, and we've heard a lot about all the fun things that Microsoft is doing in allowing our IoT partners to be productive and successful with their projects. We are fortunate today to have our PM, Vikram Kanpur, from our IoT team, who's going to come up on stage and join me and talk about some of the investments that the IoT team is making in helping you get successful in your IoT projects. Welcome back. I have Vikram. Thank you for joining us
today. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And let's hear all the things that Microsoft is doing to help the IoT revolution.
Thanks. So greetings, everyone. I am Vikram. I'm on the Microsoft Internet of Things team. I'm pleased to be here to talk to you about IoT and how we are bringing Windows on small devices that are prevalent in the IoT space using boards such as Minnowboard Max and Galileo. We are surrounded by, you know, millions of devices around us. Besides just the Windows phones, PCs, and Xbox consoles, there's millions of sensors in our home, in our cars, at our work. And our goal is to enable interconnecting these sensors and also bringing Windows on some of these devices and sensors around us. So let me show you how we think about this, this space in terms of how we categorize these devices. We have large, mobile, small, and the micro categories. The large category are devices like the point of sale terminals, the ATM machines, the MRI machines. These are highly computationally intensive machines. We offer embedded industry 8.1 as a product today that partners can use to run on these devices. This is the standard Windows with specific industry features for each of these verticals. Then we move to the mobile category. We have, these are the ruggedized handhelds that you see in delivery services such as FedEx, DHL. You also see in retail at Kinko's, at Staples. So we offer Windows Phone with specific industry verticals, and that SKU is embedded handheld. And partners can use that today to build these embedded handheld devices for specific verticals. The next one is the small category. This is really interesting because this is where you see a huge diversity of form factors and different shapes and sizes of devices that have been built with Windows. We offer the embedded compact edition and also the auto edition that partners can use to build both x86 and ARM-based devices such as gateways, wearables, panels, car GPS navigation systems. And then the fourth category is the micro category. This is a really huge sort of set of sensors that are running on 8-bit, 16-bit microcontrollers. They're all over in our home, in cars, at work, everywhere around us. And you can use, we offer .NET Micro Framework, which is an open source project that anyone can use and start putting on different architectures and form factors. I want to talk a little bit more about the small category. This one is really interesting because there is a huge amount of form factors that can be built using Windows. And I want to spend a little bit of time on what we are doing in this category to enable builders like yourself to start creating these devices. So to that effect, we announced WindowsOnDevices.com, which is our Windows developer program for IoT, about 3 months ago at Build. And since then, we have shipped thousands of devices to people who qualified, and we have had a huge response on our program. So let me explain to you some of the goals of such programs, specifically in regards to IoT, and I'll go and talk about the specific Galileo program we have today in the market. So in terms of goals of such programs, we want to enable Windows, we want to allow developers to use Windows to create IoT devices. We want to bring our standard Win32, WinRT APIs such that IoT developers can easily create applications. We want to enable new developers such as makers, hardware developers, existing app developers to participate in the IoT space and rapidly create these scenarios and form factors. We want to engage with the community early and fast so that we can inform and build the right products for them. And last but not the least, we want to offer this program across a variety of boards. Given that this is such a diverse area, we have different price points, different form factors, so we want to offer a variety of boards at different price points. We are starting with Galileo, so let me talk a little bit more about that specific program. So this is Windows and Galileo program is based on a Galileo board, which is based on a Quark SoC. So today, anyone with a Galileo board can take Windows. We are offering a headless edition of Windows 8.1. It's available on our dev portal, windowsondevices.com, and they can run it on any Galileo board. We are offering Visual Studio. They can use the free edition of Visual Studio, Visual Studio Express, to start programming against this. We have provided specific extensions and templates they can use to rapidly create these scenarios. We have also offered an open source wiring SDK. So as you know, Galileo is an Arduino compatible board, so you can use your existing Arduino shields to create projects. With the wiring SDK, you can rapidly import your Arduino libraries and start creating these projects in a rapid fashion. We have also provided specific samples and documentation on the dev portal. They're also available on the Git, so you can contribute both on the SDK as well as samples. And then, as I mentioned earlier, this is an open source SDK, so we would love to get contributions from our community. It's already happening. Love to see some more samples come online. And we are iterating rapidly on both the SDK as well as the boards. Now, the question is, we are talking about a MinoBoard Max, and I'm talking about Galileo, so what's the connection? We started with the Galileo program, and there are two really interesting Intel families that work very well with Windows in the IoT space. There is the Quark line, which is their low cost, low power, and then there is the Atom line. MinoBoard Max is based on the Atom SoC, and in the near future, we are going to include MBM, MinoBoard Max, as part of the IoT developer program. We are going to offer a specific developer offer, which will include the wiring SDK, so makers can rapidly work on their projects and also get access to the low-level buses through standard APIs.
Excellent. So Vikram, if I am an IoT partner and I want more information, Windows on Devices seems to be the place that I can get everything, including access to the OS image. And if I have some questions, do I go there to ask you those questions?
Yeah, so Windows on Devices is the first place you should go to. It'll have links to Microsoft Connect and also the GitHub. Microsoft Connect has the Windows binary. The GitHub has the open source SDK you can download.
Excellent, excellent. This is great to see that there is a roadmap that includes MinoBoard Max. So in the future, developers can actually use the MinoBoard Max for their IoT development. And the most interesting thing is you're not leaving Visual Studio, whether you're doing a driver development project for sensors or you're doing an IoT project. You're all working within Visual Studio. So the knowledge
Absolutely.
That you gain with Visual Absolutely. Studio carries over.
You're right. It's the same set of tools, same set of debugging tools, same set of templates and same set of, you know, Win32 WinRT APIs that you're able to leverage.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. So it was great to have Vikram on stage to give us an update on the IoT project. WindowsOnDevices.com is the place for you to reach out to the team, get more information about that program.
Right. One of the things that's really exciting for me is hearing about the wiring libraries, because in working with the boards early on, doing our demo for build, it was really difficult to figure out if we'd wired the sensor up right, if we'd wired it to GPIO and I2C right. And so having those wiring libraries to be able to poke at the lines from within Windows would have actually saved us a lot of time. So I think this is another one of those spots where we have things that are being done in the makerspace, which are also very applicable to driver development and this sort of professional hardware development.
It's a great example of how we have investments that we want to make sure we're carrying over to these different boards and making sure that we are lighting up the whole end-to-end scenario.
Yes.
So with that, actually, I wanted to, we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about the boards, the OS, the tools, and the support story. Again, a lot of talk. Let's actually see some demos where we put it all together. And our team in Taipei have put together this awesome demo by working with our partner, with their partner, Soul Team. It's a company based in Taiwan. And they do, build sensors. So they've actually taken one of Soul Team's sensor and written a driver for that particular sensor using the great tools, Visual Studio, Windows, and the SharkScope development board. So let's take a look at that demo now.
Driver development with SharkScope board. Before you start, you can get the board and related hardware, such as cables, and install Windows on the SharkScope board. In your machine, install Visual Studio and WDK. You can use VS Express for Windows Desktop for driver development. Steps 1 to 4. SPB accelerometer sample from MSDN. Step 1. Download SPB accelerometer sample from MSDN. Step 2. Extract the file and open the solution by Visual Studio. And you can find the files of the solution in the Solution Explorer. And the INX file describes the installation of the driver, such as the hardware ID and some properties. And this sample shows how to write a UMDF driver to control a sensor connected to I2C. Besides, the sample illustrates how to communicate with the sensor class extension for your sensor driver. Step 3. You can select the configuration and platform for the driver in the Configuration Manager, such as the debug build or release build. Step 4. Build the driver in Visual Studio. After the driver is built, you can get the driver package from the folder. Step 5. Modify the sample to support your device. In the sample, you can modify the registers and operations supported by your device. Besides, you modify the properties of the sensor. For example, you can modify the properties of the accelerometer to the sensor device. And you also modify the data type. And you make sure that the hardware ID in the in file is the same as your device and update the related fields. You can also replace the private method with the method that corresponds to the functionality on your device. Finally, you may need to modify the thread procedure for the pooling if needed. Step 6. Connect your device to the SharkScope board. To connect your device to the SharkScope board, first you use the specification to determine which pins to use. Second, you get a specification for the SharkScope headers and pins from SharkScope.org. Third, you connect your device to the Schwarzkopf board accordingly. Step 7. Alter the secondary system description table in ACPI. After the Windows is installed, there is no device node available for your device. So, you can open a command prompt window as administrator. Copy the ASL.exe from WDK to the Schwarzkopf board and decompile the SSDT. After the SSDT is decompiled, open the SSDT.asl. And you can update the CRS session by the information of the I2C and GPIO for your device, and install your own device entry to the SSDT. Then you recompile the SSDT.asl to the SSDT.aml and load your updated SSDT to the system. You need to turn the test sign on and reboot to get the device node available. Step 8. Install the driver. After the driver is developed and the SSDT is altered, you can see the device node for your device in the device manager. And you can make sure the hardware ID is the same as the one in the infile. Then you use the infile to install the driver. After the driver is installed, you can check the information of the driver in the device manager. Step 9. Test your driver and device. For example, if your device is a sensor, you can use the sensor diagnostic tool from WDK or the sensor info from Windows Store to test your device and driver. As you can see, the NVLI sensor driver developed for the device is working. Step 10. Debug your driver with TraceView. You can use the TraceView to debug your driver. First, you copy the TraceView from WDK to the Schwarzkopf board and run the TraceView as administrator. Then you create a new log session. You can select the PDB symbol file to create a new log session for your driver. You do some configurations and controls the trace sessions. The trace session is started and it displays the trace message from the real-time trace sessions. If you disable and enable the driver, you can see the calling sequence of the driver initialized. And the trace view displays the format trace message for the real-time trace session. You can also use Visual Studio to debug your driver. In Visual Studio, you need to first configure your test machine to provision the target computer, which is the Schwarzkopf board. Then in Visual Studio, you build a project for the remote debug. And the Visual Studio will deploy the driver to the Schwarzkopf board automatically. As you can see, the driver is now deploying to the Schwarzkopf board. And in Visual Studio, you can view the code stack and also see the breakpoint and set the breakpoint. While the driver is running, if it hits the breakpoint, you can see the information in the Visual Studio and get the calling stack and also the variables. You can step over or step into to debug your driver. And it shows you how to remote debug in the Visual Studio. and now the driver is installed.
Live?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, so this was an awesome demo. Thank you so much to our Taipei team for helping us connect with our partner, Seoul team, to put together this really compelling demo. So,
right.
Peter.
Actually, before I talk about customer testimonials, let me just say we have actually been getting a lot of questions in. We've had a little bit of technical difficulty, so we haven't seen them show up on the screen in the studio. So we're actually going to wait for to answer questions until after this next video, when we can bring everybody up on stage and answer everything all at once. So if you've been asking questions, we are listening to you. We just can't see them yet, but we have some people who are working on that.
Right.
So in addition to the walkthrough that the Taipei team did, they've gotten some why can't I say that? Customer testimonials from ST Microelectronics and from Seoul Team Opto.
Right.
And they're really good. They talk about a lot of the things that we've talked about here, about how it's Shark's Cove is making it a lot easier for them to get started on their software engineering projects. So let's watch those two testimonial videos.
我们捷腾光电是一家以光为核心技术的公司，我们一直致力于提供给客户创新的产品、创新的应用以及全方位的方案整合。我们公司的产品总共有三大主轴，一个是Optical、Lighting跟Sensor。那会应用在Portable装置的部分的话，最主要的产品就是ambient light sensor跟proximity
sensor。过去在开发driver的时候，最常遇到的问题便是平台的不统一，而每次在开发的时候，便需要请客户将需要开发的环境建置好，我们才能去进行 compiler 及 debug 的动作。而每次遇到问题的时候 ，BIOS 的部分都需要做修改及重新烧录的动作，这都是造成我们开发时程的 delay 以及时间的浪费。这次我们先期试用了 Shark's Cove 硬体开发版，这个开发版解决了我们以上绝大部分的问题，也加快了我们产品开发的速度。在硬体部分，它提供了独立的电源及 SQC 界面，让我能够快速的更换我不同的 device， 量测产品的讯号，从而得知驱动程式和硬体之间的连接，让我的 debug 能够更确实而有效率。 在使用 Shark's Cove 硬体开发版后，修正 BIOS 再也不是一件困难的事情了。我们可以很简单的使用 ASL 工具将 ASL code dump 出来，并进行修改后 compile 回去，便完成了 BIOS 的修正，不用再像过去需要不断的对 BIOS 进行重复的烧录动作，加快了我们修正确认的时间，也减少了我们硬体的损耗。在 driver 的开发上， 这套开发版拥有完整的 Windows 8.1 作业系统，因此每当我们开发一个版本或是进行修正后，我们便可以立即的在这个开发版上进行验证，确认我们的驱动程式是否有问题，一有问题便可以马上的进行修改，重复的验证。Shark's Cove 硬体开发版除了是一个开发版外，也是一个 安装了 Windows 8.1 作业系统的行动平板，它拥有了完整的无线网络及区域网络功能，让我们可以直接的透过网络连接 server 进行 WHCK 的测试。而在测试的过程中，一旦有任何的问题，也可以立即的得知错误的地方进行修正。当测试完成后，也可以直接的透过网络连接 Windows SysDev 网站，将 log 上传，取得相关认证。在使用了 Shark's Cove 硬体开发版之后，开发驱动程式再也不见得是一件坏事。过去我需要不断的到客户端去商界平台来进行产品驱动程式的开发及 debug 的动作，而如今我只需要在我的实验室便可以完成相关的开发以及驱动程式的认证。 加快了我开发的时程，也提高了客户对我的信任。
意法半导体是全球领先的半导体解决方案供应商，为感测器、功率技术与多媒体融合应用领域提供创新的解决方案。我们部门其实包含了 motion sensor 的部分，还有 environmental sensor， 还有 Bluetooth low energy 以及 MEMS 麦克风等等。那以往的开发呢，我们都会需要一些 embedded 的 system， 或者是像手机这样的装置，让我们可以接我们的 module， 然后去开发 driver 或是做一些应用。那在 Windows 方面呢，以前的使用方式都是我们可能要跟 ODM 合作，去拿到一台完整的 PC 或者是 laptop 这样的硬体开发环境，那再去将我们的 IC 或是模组去用一些 rework 的方式去把它接出来，然后再去开发软体。那这样的方式呢，第一个就是你的测试产品的数量可能会受到限制，而且品质也没办法掌控。那使用 Microsoft 这个板子呢，我们发现到说它其实对我们一开始的开发其实会非常的就比较有效率。那简单说，像我们开发的一些这些东西呢，可能是这些 IO 界面和 I2C 或是 USB 等等。那我们只要将它接出来，那在 Windows 上面算非常成熟且稳定，那开发起来的话前面的门槛会比较低一点。甚至呢，在后面我们如果要将我们的 driver 去做一些灰口测试的话，因为它板子已经达到一定的稳定度了，所以后面的灰口测试也会比较轻松而且容易。像我们以往的测试啊，在我们要去过灰口认证的时候，我们常常都需要跟 ODM 厂配合，请他们帮我们去调整 BIOS。 那例如像对 ACPI 部分去增加我们的 device， 或者是它 BIOS 很多很多部分都必须达到一定的稳定度，那在灰口测试中才能够比较顺利。那这个板子它本身已经有达到一定的稳定度，那而且 BIOS 部分我们也可以针对我们的 device 去做部分的修改，这样子在跑灰口的流程当中会比较顺畅。用了 Sharp-Scarf 硬体开发板，最大的差别其实就是它其实弹性还蛮大的。那我们要接我们的 module 去开发都非常容易，或者是我们要去量一些讯号也非常容易。然后我们也不需要去烦恼说我们要跟 ODM 厂商或 OEM 去借机器的问题，或者是什么时候要还等等的这些比较琐碎的事情。也很多，这样少掉很多这些事情。
Welcome back. And we saw this great demo from our partners. It was a great testament of the work that we are doing to help these partners is actually bearing fruit. And it's really positive and encouraging to see that. So at this point, let's roll to the questions. Yep. We've got John and Vikram on the stage with Peter and I. And we'll take some questions from the audience that you've submitted. So the first one is, how does the Minnow board relate to the Galileo and Windows developer program for IoT? So Vikram, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so today the Windows developer program for IoT includes only the Galileo board, and that means anyone with a Galileo board anywhere in the world can participate in this program. They can sign up and they can go to our Connect site, download the Windows OS image, and start creating, you know, exciting maker projects. So if you are someone who uses Arduino, Raspberry Pi type of devices to create your things, we encourage you to use the Quark-based Galileo board. MBM, Minnow Board Max today is not part of the program. However, as I mentioned earlier, we are planning to include that as part of the program in the near future.
Excellent. So that was good. So your positioning of the Galileo sure. relative to the Minnow Board Max and the Sharkscope would
right.
be?
So Galileo board is, you know, a sub $50 board that you can buy on any retailer online, Amazon, or directly from the Intel site. However, if you are a builder trying to create an IoT device like a digital signage or a navigation mm-hmm. system, we encourage you to go play with the Minnowboard Max. It's much more powerful, and it's the right form factor for devices such as the digital signage and navigation systems. Quark-based Galileo is part of our IoT program. It's more for makers doing exciting projects like you would do today on Arduino or a Raspberry Pi.
Okay, that's great. John, do you have
Yeah, no. These are a spectrum of boards. You've got the Galileo, you know, that's working with a lot of the makerspace because there's a lot of mind share there because of the Arduino, and the Arduino compatibility of the Galileo gives it a lot of space there. But there's things that it can't do. The Minnowboard Max has some of those other capabilities. We've got more high-speed I/O, and we've got, you know, a graphics solution on our chip already, and you know, the Shark's Cove, just going beyond that, it's a really great platform for doing bring up for something like a tablet. So I mean, these things are a spectrum, and that's what people have to keep
Excellent.
In mind.
That's great. So the next question is, can we use these boards for things other than driver development?
Most certainly, yes.
Absolutely, yep. I think so.
The Minnowboard Max is obviously designed for uses and was not designed at all for driver development. It's designed for more embedded solutions. The Shark's Cove is designed as a development board, but it could easily be repurposed to serve as a like robotics controller or something like that if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, and just to give an example, if you go out to minnowboard.org, there is actually a video of a robot that's using the original Minnowboard, not the Minnowboard Max, unfortunately, but it's there. There's nothing stopping anybody from doing anything with these. So,
I think the main thing probably would be to look at the environmental restrictions on the processors. You wouldn't want to end up melting your Atom processor on your Shark's Cove because your robot got too hot. So that's probably the thing to be mindful about.
That's excellent, excellent. So the next question is the Shark's Cove available for purchase globally? And yes, it is absolutely available for purchase globally. We had some restrictions earlier, a few weeks ago actually, on the Mouser website, and those restrictions have been lifted. I know for a fact that we've got some vendors in Asia who've actually purchased the board. So go ahead, get your orders in right away. The next one is, does the Atom CPU support Hyper-V virtualizations? And are there any larger boards that support 32 gig or 64 gig RAM?
So the CPUs that are on both the Shark's Cove and the Minnowboard Max both have the Intel virtualization extensions. So yes, they support Hyper-V. And you're probably going to want to run Windows 8.1. But with respect to the 32 gigs or 64 gigs, these are SoC parts. So we don't have that many memory controllers on the chip itself, so we can't support that much memory. If off the top of my head, I believe it's about 8 gigs is the most that either of these SoCs can support. Yeah. But
okay, there's another actually interesting thing I don't think we've talked about really, mm-hmm. which is the Minnowboard Max is a 64-bit firmware mm-hmm. and can run the 64-bit version of Windows. So yeah, it can support Hyper-V. The Shark's Cove is running 32-bit firmware at the moment, so it only supports the 32-bit version of Windows, yep. and I'm pretty sure Hyper-V is only enabled on 64-bit. Yep. So if you want a virtualization device, the Minnowboard Max would again be the device for you.
Okay. Next question is it to run Windows on the Minnowboard Max, do we need to do anything, or does it run out of the box?
So there is a firmware patch, I believe, mm-hmm. available for the Minnowboard Max. I've heard some of the newer ones rolling out have it already applied, but otherwise it should be on Minnowboard.org yeah. or off of Minnowboard.org to apply.
There'll be a link off of the Minnowboard website for the UEFI-DK website, which has our firmware on it. And if you've got a board that's got a green dot on one of the RAM chips, you've got this applied. You don't that one unfortunately doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
That only started happening about a week ago. And if you've got that, you don't need to update. Everything should just work. There might be some driver issues. Those should get a single place to download those should be available by the end of September.
Yeah, so we're working with Intel to get their drivers into a board support package like we have for the Shark's Cove. So that we can apply them to the Minnow board so that you'll be able to do everything.
And I think that is, we wanted to reiterate that we've created a getting started page for the Shark's Cove, which is that step-by-step instruction, we're going to have a similar experience for the MinnowBoard Max. Yep. And Intel is working on creating a BSP package that includes all the drivers for the MinnowBoard Max, and we'll have all the right references available on that Getting Started page. So we will update you guys through our MSDN forums as soon as these this collateral becomes available. So so the next one is on MinnowBoard.org, it says that Linux is the only one that's supported. Would there be a Windows BSP support available later? And I think...
So we're announcing the Windows support today here. Yeah. That's why it's not on the website right now, mainly because I need to get back and get at my laptop. But, you know, the BSP support should be out by the end of September. So it's coming. It'll be there. Hopefully by the end of the day, we'll have all the links and everything listed on the website. So,
right. So the other one, next one is support from MinnowBoard Max for 32-bit OS.
So yeah, so out of the box, we ship with a 64-bit UEFI. And if you're unfamiliar with how UEFI works, you can only use a 64-bit UEFI with a 64-bit operating system and a 32-bit UEFI with a 32-bit operating system. So out of the box, this isn't going to work. But we've got a 32-bit UEFI firmware available. It's up on the UEFI DK website for the MinnowBoard Max. You can download it, flash it. If you're running stock, use the 64-bit flash utility. If you're already on 32-bit, use the 32-bit flash utility. And you can update the firmware all you want. And if for some strange chance you happen to do something weird with your firmware, we have a spy interface directly into the firmware so you can always recover it should anything bad.
Does the same apply to the Sharkscope as well if I wanted to go from 32-bit to 64?
At some point there will be a firmware available for 64-bit.
Excellent.
It's just not there yet.
That's good to know. Next question, will there be a development boards running Windows RT in the future?
Oh, that's an awesome question.
Yeah.
We have definitely, Varoff and I have talked a lot about both Windows RT and about Windows Phone. We don't have any plans that we can announce, unfortunately, right now, but rest assured it's something that keeps us awake at night.
And stay tuned. We'll definitely let you know as soon as we've got plans formed up. Is there an NDA required to buy this device?
No.
I think it's a resounding no.
Nope.
Absolutely. If you have a credit card, you could go online and purchase this board. It's as simple as that. So moving on, is there HD audio support on this board?
So on the MinnowBoard, we've got a couple of different audio interfaces that we can pull out. We've got we can run audio over HDMI, so obviously that's HD. And we've got an I2S interface that we can pull out straight through the pins. We don't have an audio codec attached to that right now, but that's something that can be easily added. With the Shark's Cove, again, they've got HDMI, so obviously HD audio, and there is an analog audio part on there. So yes, that, you know, HD audio is available.
Okay, I think at this point of time, we're almost running out of time for this event today. I wanted to quickly wrap up. First of all, thank you very much, Intel and Vikram, for joining us on the stage. I also wanted to send a shout out to our team in Taipei, who helped us organize the amazing demo and also the great customer testimonials to see how all the work that we're doing is actually helping real partners be productive. Again, if you want any latest information about our Windows compatible program, go to msdn.microsoft.com/hardware-development-boards. We have a new update to the page this morning that talks about the MinnowBoard Max. We'll have some links to the Getting Started collateral as soon as that becomes available. Sharkscove and MinnowBoard Max are available today globally at sharkscove.org and minnowboard.org. And last but not the least, we want to have you, our partners, be involved with us in this journey. We have basically talked about our hardware development forums. That's a great place for you to stay connected with Microsoft. Submit your questions, submit your projects, and talk about it. Let's kind of collectively raise our knowledge as a community in the hardware development arena with Windows, using Windows and the power of Visual Studio as key enablers. So I would encourage you to go submit your questions. There are still more questions from this session today. We will try and respond to them on the forum. So make sure you bookmark the forums. And I would like to thank everybody for taking the time this morning to join us today and learning more about Windows Compatible Hardware Development Board. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you about both the SharkScope and the MinnowBoard Max, along with Windows and Visual Studio. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.